a believer now, I can say that I would have enjoyed worship to sing a little bit longer. But seeing as there's time that for the human to sing fit to ask me up here, I pray now humbly that you consider me in your prayers now. I must confess, I come into this worship service this morning pretty empty as far as anything on my heart and on my mind. But I thank God that the course of the service, he has given me a blessing, and I pray now that, as Brother Hewlin has said, that there now is a message that comes out. I believe I want to go to chapter 15 of Romans, and that's where I want to start. In Romans chapter 14, toward the end of this chapter, he talks about how we ought to behave toward the weaker brethren, those that are weaker in the faith, that whatever liberty we have might not be used to cause their weakness to stumble in the walk of life. So starting in the first verse of chapter 15, it says, "We then that are strong are to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." It says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus." But where I want to start is in that fourth verse. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Well, what was it that was written aforetime? And we know that to be the body of this, what we call the Old Testament, that which contains the law and the testimony and the doings of all those that came before Christ. And we understand that according to this and other scriptures where the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that all these things, as we said, were written for our learning. In these things we find from Genesis 1:1 where it was God the Almighty who spoke the earth into creation. And as we heard today, he formed the man out of clay, that through him all humanity came forth, and in him all humanity fell. We understand through the scripture that this Almighty God is the same one as King Nebuchadnezzar spake forth, as he's the one that works in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" He is the Almighty and all-powerful God. And we learn that through the Old Scripture. We learn through the Old Scripture the working through of tribulation. It says that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. There are testimonies of the Scriptures, just as old Job, who suffered at the hand of the Lord, to be touched by Satan, to have everything in his life taken from him, even his health. He didn't, as we say, you have your health, he didn't even have his health. He had his entire family, his entire wealth taken from him. But still through him, we see that the blessing of the Lord came upon him at the end. When God showed forth his righteousness in him, we see and have patience, and through comfort of this scripture, we have hope in times of these of tribulation. We have hope when we look at the doings of old Israel. A stiff-necked, gainsaying people who still the Lord besought many times to return to him, and still he showed mercy unto them. And so through all these things, we have this hope. The one prime thing I want to show for you today, I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 22, of the hope that we have in the Scripture, that we find starting in the Old Scripture, in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 22, we find Abraham. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and Abraham, he said, Behold, here am I. Here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of these mounts mountains which I will tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide yet ye here with the ass, and I will let, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and the knife, and they both went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering.
Amen.
So he went both of them together.
Mm-hmm.
Now we know the rest of this story. Abraham put Isaac on that altar and was ready to slay him. No, it says that it was faithful that he would raise him up again. Mm-hmm. And we know that the Lord stayed his hand from slaying his son. And in this we have, in this testimony of Scripture, through patience and comfort, we have a hope in this. Because we see a picture of this, we've seen this a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
From the very point of even the wood being laid upon Isaac, Christ, our Lord bore his own cross to the mount, to the hill where he was crucified. So we have the very hope, the very picture of the promise, the sacrifice. But not just any sacrifice, not just the sacrifice of any bull or goat, as it says in Hebrews chapter 9 or 10. It's not just of any sacrifice. I believe that the prophecy that Abraham spoke with his mouth through the word of the Spirit is true. It says, My God, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. I mean, two things in that. One, he provided a ram for Abraham to offer up.
Yeah.
So he did provide a lamb, but he also, we know, through the testimony of faith, through the word of the Scripture, through the preaching of the gospel, he also provided himself the lamb.
Amen.
I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 9. I want to start with verse 2. It says, The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shone. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy before thee, according to the joy of harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and with garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with just judgment and justice from this world, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Mm-hmm.
If there is anything I can say that is my heart's desire to say, using that scripture that through the whatever was spoken before time, we might have patience, that through patience and comfort of the Spirit, we might have hope. When we run in patience and in comfort of the Spirit, we have that hope that this son that was born, that the son that was born to Mary, that when the angel came to Joseph and said that she shall bear a son, and I shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people for his sin. We have that hope coupled with the testimony of the Spirit and strengthened with that testimony of faith. That we have that solid hope, both sure and steadfast, an anchor of the soul that entered into that within the veil, that hope that we can lay hold upon and know that from the very testimony of the Scripture from of old, that the one that was promised would come. And we know that that there were those that looked for the coming of the Messiah, or those that saw his coming, but there were only few that found his coming as in truth as it really came, because many, as we know, the Pharisees looked for that great and glorious king to restore natural Israel. But the hope that we have is not a natural hope. The hope that we have is that spiritual hope, the hope and comfort that comes to the soul. That when we through patience, it says in Romans chapter 5 that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. But the tribulation that we work through, and the patience that is wrought through that, works to for us to lay hold upon this hope that is testified of in the scripture, and that we know has come to pass in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. So having this testimony of this hope, and a testimony of so many crowds of witnesses that from, it says in it lists all those in Hebrews 11, the from Abel, Enoch, Noah. It talks about Abraham, who through faith offered up his son, looking to the future, or looking through faith to the God who would deliver this hope that he had within him. That being laid with so many laid around, being compassed about, having so many clouds of these witnesses from the first verse of Genesis 1:1, having all these testimonies, we should lay aside every sin which just so easily beset us, and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because it is in him that we have this hope. In like manner, I want to go to chapter 4 of Hebrews. I'll go to chapter 3 and read some of that. It says, I'll go ahead and sum that up and go to chapter 4. In chapter 3, he's talking about the children of Israel that did not go into the promised land because of their unbelief.
Yeah.
Because they did not listen and did not pay attention to the very promises of the God of heaven who led them out of the land of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Here were a people that were enslaved for years and years, for many generations. I believe it says some 400 years. Enslaved and caused to build the buildings of the kings of Egypt. And through the mighty power of Almighty God, the miracles that not every man has seen on this earth, they were brought out of Egypt and brought into the border of Canaan land. Even through all this, they still did not believe the God that promised that he would go before them and fight their battles before them. And in chapter 4, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, if you should come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with good men that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished in the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief," talking about the Jews. "Again he limited a certain day, saying to David, in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you would hear his voice, harden not your heart. For if Jesus had not given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." We read here that that we have a promise of this, that through the hope in Christ, we can lay aside all of our works. Because we know and do know through the testimony of the Scripture, from the preaching of the gospel, mixed in with that testimony that comes from the heart, from the Spirit, we know and believe that there was the Lord Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, born under the law, that he would redeem us who are under the law, that through his sacrifice of suffering, through his blood on the cross, he would redeem his people for all eternity, assure and eternal salvation, that he would redeem his people and cast away the sin that had beset, that had imprisoned them in the bonds of sin. I don't know exactly how to quote or the scripture has that in it. But he redeemed us from the bonds of hell he paid the sin, he paid for the sin that was our own, went to God, the glorious Savior, and captured for us. We are in the Lord's hand and in Christ's hand. God in us, we in God, we are all in each other, and there is no thing that can separate us from the love of God. And we know we have that surety and that hope, and that hope mixed within us gives us a hope in this life, where we still must live in this life. We still must bear about the penalty of this sin in this flesh until we lay down our lives on this earth. So we must still have a hope while we dwell on this earth. And that hope stems from that eternal hope. For we know that we know from the teaching of God that there is the eternal Savior there, and the sovereign God who chose us out before the foundation of the world. And we in Him were saved in Jesus Christ. And that we have no works of our own to offer up in righteousness. But we must rely on Christ for everything that we have, because it's even in Him that we live, move, and have our being. We must be beggars at His table continually, because we are always looking, or should always be looking, to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so knowing that we have no place of strength of our own, knowing that we must go to our Lord and to look to Him from which cometh our help. When we know that, we must understand that we cease from our own works. And when we do that, when we labor to mortify the deeds of these bodies, when we cease from the labors of these hands, we enter into that rest that was promised unto us. And that is the rest that we receive in the church. That's the rest I receive today. When I came here, hearing the song of the gospel, hearing the praises of the Lord Jesus, ascend, not just with the voices of these bodies going up to this ceiling, but knowing that the Lord Himself is sitting in the midst of us, and that His Spirit is offered up to God, knowing that we have a mediator who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, knowing that we have a mediator who is tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. We have someone to go to and to lay our sins and our not only our afflictions and our because of our sin, but the afflictions because of the sin of the world. We suffer because of the sins that we commit in this life, not to the point of really the way we ought to, because we still have the mercy of God and the chastising rod. But we also suffer affliction in this world because of the principle that we are of Christ. Because we are of Christ and not of this world, the world hates us and will seek at any point to cause us pain. And so we have a place to go when we have this torment upon us. And when we have to labor to lay that down at His feet, there are many times that I'll go to the Lord and pray and lay down something at His feet that is bothering me. But no sooner have I stopped praying than I take it back up again and try to labor with it with my own hands. And there is no rest in that, because there is nothing that we can do with our own hands to do anything in this life. We must always look to the Lord for our strength and look at Him in our hope. And we understand that, we can look at the Israelites. They did that continually. No sooner had the Lord brought them out, they went back to what they were doing. So these are our lessons that, as it says, they were made therefore a rest of God for either. Well, I don't want to take time to find to read that again, but these are our lessons that we should labor to release the things of this flesh. And it is a labor of the Spirit. We can only do it through the Spirit. Only the Spirit can mortify the deeds of this flesh. And when we labor to release the things of this flesh, all the things that are combined, all malice and guile, all hatred, when we release those things and look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and rest in the hope that we have in Him, then we find that rest to the soul, that comfort, that Christ Himself said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." And that is the yoke of walking after His steps. That is the yoke of laying aside all malice, all envying, all strife, all things that we have in this flesh and in this body. Laying aside these things and looking to Him and looking to how He would do things. There are many times that I know and I pray that I can find the companionship in this, because this is one thing that we can bear up each other in our faults and in our weaknesses. That When we falter and fall, how should I want to say that? I know I'm weak. And I'll, like I said, I'll pray to the Lord, and I'll try it out. In the spirit, sometimes I do lay things down, and that's when I feel the fulfillment of that peace upon me. But there are times where I take it back up again, and that's where we admonish one another and can look to one another and strengthen like each other that are weak. So going back to Romans chapter 15, knowing that we look to the author and finisher of our faith, that we must enter into this race. It says, we then that are strong, often bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. But every one of us please his neighbor. Now, it didn't stop right there, just please his neighbor, because there are a lot of things that would please me that does not fulfill me. For the rest of this, it says, let everyone please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. That is that is what we find in the schoolmaster of the law, that we cannot fulfill the law, and that the one that we reproach took our reproaches upon him and fulfilled that law for us, that we would not be under the bondage of that law, no longer, that he would no longer remember our sins and iniquities against us. So for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So then, seeing that we have a hope, we have this hope within us, Christ in me, the hope of glory, we have this hope within us, let us labor to enter into the rest that is in that hope. Let us lay aside all malice and guilt. That's in 1 Peter, I believe. 1 Peter chapter 2 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted the Lord is gracious. It says, to whom coming is unto a life living stone, disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, and you know, stones that's another thing that you can make out of clay, it's a house, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them who stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So when we come into this rest, we do more than just receive something of ourselves. We show forth the life of Christ. When we cast aside the works of these flesh and rely on the Spirit of the Lord, we show forth the light of Christ in this world. We are the light of this world when we do that. And so, being that spiritual house where we can come together and build up each other in hope, build up the weak, we also show forth the light of Christ. And we are a testimony of him in this world. And we show forth his praises. And we glorify. I pray that we work to glorify his name while we live on this earth. Because it is in him that we live and move and have our being and have our hope and have our strength. It's only in him that we have salvation, both in this world and the world to come. So we must always look to him, the author and finisher of our faith. And rest in the hope that we find the testimony of the old scripture, and that we know when it is mixed with faith. And when we come together and worship in like manner as today, we have one more cloud of witness that the Lord is still here, and the Lord is still working. He's still gracious and good, and the Lord still grants mercy to his people. And that is what we must come together and remind each other of. Because when we go into this world, there is no mercy, there is no peace out in the world. We must cast our eyes to him, who grants mercy and peace, that we may be able to show mercy and peace to one to another, so that when we come together, we might show forth that light of Christ. So, as I believe there's one more scripture I want to read. It's, well, I'm sorry, it just left my mind, so I guess I better not pursue that. So, if there's anything that I hope that I've said, I hope that you've heard that Christ is the one that is shown in the Old Testament to be, that he is the law as the schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that it is in the law, is in the testimony of the Old Scripture, that we see the promise of Christ. And it is in that promise of Christ that we can work with patience, that we, like Job, can have rest, that the skin runs the virus body, I'm sorry, I can't quote that, but we're going to see him at the final day. We're going to stand with him, that he's going to call us forth from the grave, and that we're going to see him with our own eyes and not another. That we have that hope within us, and we know that hope is Christ our Lord. And knowing this, let us labor to enter into the rest that is in his name, in his hope, that we would strengthen one another and glorify his name while we live on this earth, because there is no other place on earth where his name is found than in the church. Mm-hmm. And it is in the church that we find the testimony of the true Savior preached, the mighty and triumphant Savior who redeemed his people with his own blood, and that have that sure hope, that solid hope, the anchor of the soul, mm-hmm. that enters into the veil, enters into the place that we cannot enter into our own. But there's an anchor there that went there before us, and it's the anchor for us. And then that anchor is Jesus Christ, on which our hope is laid.
Amen.
So let us come together and not be weak in coming together, but strengthen one another, because these days are not getting any better. And so and there are those among us that have suffered great trials and tribulations. And it may be called upon us to suffer even greater trials and tribulations. So we must come together. We must come together as the people of God. To tell each other about the things that Christ has done for us, the things that Christ has done in us, that we may strengthen one another, because there are those of us who cannot rely on the arm of this flesh. None of us can rely on the arm of this flesh. And we must point each other to Jesus Christ by showing forth the light of Christ one to another and bear up each other in our weaknesses, that those who are those who are strong bear up the infirmities of them that are weak. And it's only in our hope that we can do that. So continue to pray for Tony as he comes before us, that he would preach the gospel, and that more than he would.